It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us. I greatly appreciate each and every one of you. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of yourself. You're each treasured, valued, and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is Coach of Our Tuesday, producer Steve.
Boy, oh boy.
Wow.
We only have three more days of the week to name. We have Turnquist Fridays and now Coach of Our Tuesday.
It's Coach of Our Tuesday. In studio with me is Susan Coach of Our. You know her. She's a great friend of the show. She's also an entrepreneur. She's the owner of 88 Drive-In Theater. It is great to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be back after a hiatus while I ran the drive-in.
Yeah. How is it? I hear that there is an employee shortage. How are you doing with that?
I haven't done too bad with that. The bigger problem for me is a shortage of the things that I sell, goods.
I have heard across the spectrum that there are shortages, which is very concerning to me, Susan.
It's extremely concerning. You know, right now I'm having a hard time getting candy. Sometimes I'll have a hard time getting funnel cakes or different things. If I don't have things to sell, I can't make money. Studios take most of our box office to pay their people.
So what do you? Why do you think that you're having trouble with it? Is it transportation, production? What is it? Do you know?
I think it's kind of all of those things. I heard that the makers of the churros, their whole department was closed down because someone was reportedly ill. So that's another part of, you know, the shutdowns and the re-ramping up really hurts things. But I've also had trouble getting Coke. And one of the things that they said when I called was that, well, it's in the warehouse, but we don't have anybody in the warehouse to get it for you, and they won't let you come get it. You know, and the most disturbing thing to me about that whole thing is we're Americans. We can do it. So go out in the warehouse and get the product to your customer. You know, we have become so regulated, and that's not my job. There's no get or done attitude, and that's extremely alarming.
It is extremely alarming. I've heard, and I actually need to check this out, but somebody told me that that they have a relative that lives near a manufacturing plant, I think, in the Kansas City area, that there is just a whole bunch of Ford F-150s or whatever that are just sitting there, new ones to be sold because they can't get the chip. And then I actually talked to a technician in another dealership, and they said that it's a Japanese chip, but all of the Japanese cars can get the chips. And so here we have American cars, and I'm thinking myself also, where's the ingenuity? Why don't we just figure it out? But what's happened over the years, Susan, is we have made labor so expensive. Mm-hmm. HR departments say you have to work this amount of hours, and you have to have this break, and whatever. And so you just mentioned it, that stick-to-itiveness. Let's get the job done. And we're seeing that play out now with shortages across the spectrum.
That's right. Business got blamed. You know, why are you moving all of your plants out of the country? Well, because we have regulated and taxed our businesses into other countries. That's why.
So what Biden wants to do is he wants to have that global income tax now.
Yeah, that didn't go so well, did it?
Well, yeah, so interesting. But anyway, it's always great to have you here. Let's go ahead and jump into some of the other things that we need to do. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get the first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds, and our most recent podcasts. We've been on hiatus on those. We're going to be jumping into those here again, kind of as everybody's getting back to school. And Patty Kirgan is just doing amazing work on this Initiative 25 LEAP, which is going to be on your ballot this November. It's Learning Enrichment and Academic Program. And it's a new marijuana tax for the children.
Oh, we're going to protect the black market even more, are we?
That's what I think, is it'll actually increase the black market, the illegal market, and probably increase crime in our neighborhoods. But the thing that's really the sticky point about this is it's going to be governed by an unelected, unaccountable authority board that is picked by this governor, and then they get to pick their replacements. What could go wrong with that, Susan?
Oh, yeah. And what really irritates me the most is, how is it that many of our Republicans get so hoodwinked?
And more of them are getting hoodwinked. We have a lot of work to do to contact them and really encourage them to get their name off of that, because I really do think that they have been bamboozled on this. It's been, I think, sold as a strategic move towards school choice and vouchers. But if you look at all the players in this whole thing, why would it be that people that never really have been in favor of vouchers and school choice have their names on this endorsement page as well? I mean, let's just kind of connect those dots.
That's what always bothers me about those on our side. They don't ask the questions, or they don't care to. You have got to follow the money, look to see what the ideals are behind it, the people who are pushing it. They don't seem to do that, and it really frustrates me.
So we have a real fight on this, because there is, as you mentioned, a lot of money. The Gary Investment Group has put $900,000 into it. And Josh Penry, who does a lot of Republican things, he actually is running the whole campaign. And he was running the getting all of the signatures. And so his company, at least from what we can tell from Tracer, was paid about $400,000 to do that. So we're following the money. Patty's done a really great op-ed, as well as some of the other players. And then also this weekend, I forgot to mention this, Steve, but I wrote an op-ed regarding Lone Tree, where I live, is proposing a massive 66% increase in their city retail sales tax. And they're saying it's just a penny, but actually a penny is 66%. And they try to sell it as, well, the people that come in and shop at Park Meadows, they're the ones that are really paying the majority of this tax increase. It's like, wait a minute. It's a 66% increase on my school supplies, on my household items, on the things that are delivered to my front door. It's a 66% tax increase. It's pretty significant, Steve, particularly when this mayor and city council shut down our city with draconian actions.
You know, I am surrounded by Lone Tree, but I am not bound by Lone Tree. And after watching their performance and the way they spent money, that alone is enough to kind of raise some eyebrows on this one.
So I have some solutions. People always want solutions. First of all, I recommend that they tighten their belt a little bit, particularly after they had all of these rules and reactions that close businesses. So tighten their belt. They may want to reassess how much they spend on capital projects, which I think you just mentioned that, Steve. And then also the sales tax shareback agreements that they have with some entities and some of the businesses, which is picking winners and losers. I mean, wouldn't you love it if you got part of your sales tax back?
Well, that's what happens. That always destabilizes the small businesses who've been in your community. They offer sharing sales tax with these bigger companies, and then the poor little small business guy doesn't get to do that, you know, and the other guys are building up and competing. It's not right.
And that's one other thing they mentioned on this virtual call. No, there was no town hall where you could actually be face-to-face and ask your questions. They used the Delphi method as they were presenting this. So it was online, the Delphi method, whereas they control the questions. So many of us submitted questions, and they never answered those. And then, whoops, the meeting's over. So, yeah. And then they'll be using probably city resources and city staff to push this forward, where we on the grassroots all have to do it in our spare time.
That's right. It's super tough to push back on city staff. And I always tell customers when they come in and they're looking at the prices and they get to the register and, well, how come it's so much more? That's because the tax with the RTD and the state and the city in my city is about 10 cents per dollar, so 10%. So when someone comes into my snack bar, they only have 90 cents of every dollar to spend. When those sales tax prices go up, then the customer has even less to spend at the business. And the small businesses have already been through so much. They're just crushing them. But people need to understand what percentages mean and what that means when that sales tax goes up. You have a penny less of every dollar to spend. It adds up.
It adds up. A penny here, a penny there. I want to toss this out to you because a couple of things. Over here on LEAP, which is quote-unquote a new marijuana tax for the children, I said that if you increase the tax on this, and there are those that have said if you increase the tax, one of the reasons they want to do that is to decrease marijuana use. And there is the economic principle, if you want less of something, you tax it. So for example, over here in Lone Tree, if they want less in sales tax, you're going to tax them more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that works because there's other choices that people can make. And in fact, Lone Tree does have a pretty favorable sales tax rate. And because of that, people will come there to shop.
Right.
But one of the reasons that the mayor was opining that we needed to increase this tax is so that our taxes were higher like all of the surrounding region. And quite frankly, if you do that, then there's no incentive for people to make that extra trip to come in and shop in Lone Tree. So if they keep it lower, I would submit your pie's going to get bigger. But it was because of the way the draconian reaction to the whole COVID thing and shutting down the businesses, of course you're going to have less than sales tax if you close down your businesses.
Right.
Wasn't one of the things put forth at that meeting is that, well, we haven't done anything with sales tax since 1995.
Yes.
And I want to submit my own opinion. That is probably one of the poorest reasons to mess with the sales tax. Like, we're overdue.
And to that point, Steve, to push back on that, first of all, the population was about 3,000 at that time. It's now over 13,000. So there's been a 400% increase, over 400% increase in population. That's a bigger pie.
Mm-hmm.
And then prices have gone up. So people are paying sales tax on something that now costs more. So that's more
yes.
in sales tax. And then they've started a tax online shopping as well. So mm-hmm. all of those things that arrive at your door, they're charging sales tax on that as well. So I agree with you, Steve. That's a very, very poor reason to do that. But then going over to LEAP on this argument about if you want less of something. So if you want less legal retail marijuana, mm-hmm. tax it more. Because if there is, and some people may quit using that. They might.
Well, you'll have less legal marijuana stores, but you're not going to have less marijuana. That's not going to work that way.
But if there is a lesser priced alternative, the illegal market, I think that you will have a growth in that, which could increase crime in our communities. And we've had enough of that already.
Sure, because the people that deal in the black market don't resolve things in the courts. They resolve them in the streets when they have disputes, and that crime and violence goes up.
So, with both of those, go over to my website and check out Patty's op-ed and my op-ed. And Patty's got a series. Actually, with this whole LEAP thing, she may have a novel by the time we're done with all of this. But we're going to go to break. When we come back, Susan Cochevar is in studio. We'll talk with one of our new sponsors, Kimberly Bell with Kanjani Coffee. I was out there for a couple of meetings yesterday. And then Dr. James Lyons-Weiler, who's been all over this whole vaccine COVID thing. He's got something very interesting regarding the Delta variant. You won't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
You don't own me.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I really appreciate all of you who are supporting us because we are an independent voice. We are an alternative to all that's going on out there. We're searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And if something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood. And livelihood, I'm going to say Mayor Hancock. Via force, and that's whether a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion. The latest silent thief is government-induced inflation. But let's just jump over here, Susan, to this before we get into, you know, I sound like Rush Limbaugh here. This is from the Colorado Sun. This was reported that Denver is going to require coronavirus vaccination for all city employees, hospital workers, and teachers, and also people that work in nursing homes, people who work in homeless shelters, correctional facilities, and all teachers to be vaccinated against the COVID-19 by the end of September. And it says the new order comes amid a wave of vaccination mandates, but it is among the most sweeping in the nation issued by a city government. And down here at the bottom, Susan, the very last sentence says, this is what Hancock says. He says, there might be some folks who may lose their jobs behind this. We recognize that.
So there's no religious or medical exemption then? They're taking that out.
Very possibly. And we, Susan, we saw this before COVID hit, when we started to see this vaccination legislation go through. They've been playing long ball on this thing. And hold that thought, because I wanted to go over and do the things that we normally do, and that is mention about America's Veteran Stories, which is this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. and 10 to 11 p.m., and it's an interview with retired Army Major General Joe Arbuckle, and it's absolutely fascinating. And before we get into this next thing here, I wanted to give you our quote for today from Soren Kierkegaard. He was born in 1813. He was a Danish theologian, poet, author, and a philosopher of existentialism. He wrote extensively on religion, morality, ethics, human psychology, and religious philosophy. He focused on the importance of a single human being and his choices and gave precedence to concrete truth over abstract thinking. He died in 1855, and he said this. Steve, I know you're going to love this one. He said, there are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true. The other is to refuse to believe what is true.
Boy, who? You pull these out sometimes, and there is so much truth. I mean, it's just literally dripping with truth, and that's a great one.
It's a good one. I thought it was great for when Susan's in today, and as well as when we talked to Jack in the third and fourth segment. And one other thing. I get to work with these great partners, Susan Kochevar, 88 Drive-In Theater. You are such a great partner of the show. Thank you.
I love the show.
And another one is Hooters Restaurants, and they have five locations. That's Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they've got lunch specials. They have not had to inflate those prices yet. I'm not quite sure how they're holding the line on that, but they have $8 items, $9 items, and $10 items. And that is for dining in, obviously. But it's a great place to get together with friends. And so be sure and check out my website. We're going to be having all of their football season is starting, and so they're going to have all kinds of football specials. We'll have that on the website here very soon at kimmunson.com. But wanted to make sure that we mentioned that. Okay, let's go back over here to Denver Mayor Hancock. He's going to use policy, and he said people may lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing compassionate about that, and that's pretty concerning, Susan.
Extremely concerning. The only thing is maybe that will shrink government a little bit.
Isn't she a glasses half full girl?
Well, I was thinking the cloud, the silver lining, but yeah, okay, there's one.
I guess that's one way to do it. But with that, Patty has done some amazing sleuthing. And this last year, this was an abortion bill because for some reason they really care about people and want people to get vaccinated. But over here on the other side, they're all for abortion, mm-hmm, anytime, right up to the day of birth. pretty unbelievable. And so they had this bill. It's Senate Bill 21-142, and it's the health care access in cases of rape or incest, sponsored by Senators Pedersen and Donovan and Representatives Carveo, and McCluskey. They're all Democrats. Polis signed this into law on May 21st, 2021. And in this, guess what it says, Susan?
What does it say?
It says every person has a right to privacy with respect to personal health decisions, free from coercion or interference from the government. Healthcare must be accessible, safe, and affordable, and no person should be required to leave the person's community to access the care that the person needs. But that first sentence, every person has a right to privacy with respect to personal health decisions, free from coercion or interferences from the government. That's a law.
It is.
That's a law in Colorado. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
That's the problem when you're trying to really control people through all this is there's all these inconsistencies.
Yeah, they try to maintain that facade of, you know, being good people. And
that we really care about people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, couple of other things that, we'll talk with Jack about a number of these other items here. Steve, there was one that when we were doing the pre-call, you said it doesn't make any sense when we have all these people coming across the border and yet we're doing all these mandates on everyday Americans. It just doesn't match up, does it, Steve?
Well, every time, you know, our package today from Patty is just full of this kind of stuff. And I just sit back and thinking, you know, I have a message for Mayor Hancock, Governor Polis, or President Biden. As long as the southern border is wide open, as long as vaccinated people are getting the virus, and as long as the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, will not admit that the illegals are spreading the virus. I said, you don't need to talk to us about the virus. It's just there's so much push and pull here going in opposite directions, and it's just nuts.
Well, and I think people are starting to really question this, don't you, Susan?
I think so, too. You know, the CDC has come out and said a bunch of stuff about masks, and I see the Tri-County and the rest of them have also, but mask wearing's not going up at all. In fact, probably down.
Well, I think people are really kind of over all of this.
I think so, too. I think they see the farce.
Have you seen any of the videos of the protests throughout the world?
Oh, my gosh. All of Europe is in protest. It's massive, especially in France.
And then I saw last night on television, though, in Australia, they're really trying to lock people down, kicking people off the beaches.
It is a penal colony. Police are going to people's homes to make sure that they are home. You know, they went through Australia and took all of their guns. Those people have nothing to fight with, and they're so locked down. They can't go from away out of their home.
Yeah, it's really, I can't believe what's going on here. One other thing, and again, Patty and I talk on a regular basis, and she had really connected this dot. When the rent moratorium, the evictions and all that, you know, that made it all the way to the Supreme Court. And now I can't remember which Supreme Court justice, I'm sure she'll text me here in just a minute. But anyway, they ruled that, now I got to get this right, that basically they ruled that the eviction moratorium was expiring, and so that they weren't really going to make a ruling on it, basically, is what happened. And Patty said, I guarantee you that what is probably going to happen is that they're going to bring back this moratorium. And so you're seeing all this pressure to do so.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of our listeners sent me some information down in Colorado Springs, and this is very orchestrated, that there's starting to be protest against evictions. And this is that assault, Susan, on private property rights.
That's what will happen, because a lot of people, blame their landlords. They forget those landlords use that rent to fix the homes and to buy their own groceries. You know, it's a business.
And to pay their mortgage.
And to pay
the mortgage on that.
I have said that to more than a few people I've run into who are renting, and they said, well, they just need to charge less rent. Well, I don't know how you expect them to do that when you want that furnace repaired or that new dishwasher. It does not work that way.
And again, all the rules and regulations that these cities and counties and the state is putting on them.
That too.
And to really connect the big dot on this, when we first started talking about this about a year ago, the World Economic Forum, actually we talked about it before, but people kind of looked at you like, that's crazy.
Yep.
And one of their goals is by 2030 that people won't own anything. There will be no property rights. People won't own property.
And you'll be happy.
And you'll be happy about it. And you wonder how they're going to do that. Well, we see it. Rules and regulation and taxes and fees is how they're going to do that.
Well, this will turn people against their landlords. That's a very dangerous path they're on.
It is a very dangerous path that they are on. Let's jump over here, though. Kimberly Bell is on the line. She is the owner. She's an entrepreneur of Kanjani Coffee, which is out in Parker, and it's on the northwest corner of Lincoln and Jordan. And I met a couple of friends out there yesterday, and one of them said, this is such a great place. Kimberly Bell, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Hi. I missed seeing you yesterday. I was out there. I had two different coffee meetings. But
I always miss you.
I know. But one of my friends had not been there yet. She said, this is such a darling place. You've got the fireplace. And then my other friend said, oh my gosh, the staff is so friendly and wanting to get things done. Pretty impressive, Kimberly.
Thank you so much. We do get a lot of compliments on those things. Yeah, we have a great staff, awesome atmosphere, great patio and great drinks. So,
and it's not just a
keep it.
Yeah, it's not just a coffee shop, is it? You're doing some other really great things.
Yeah, we are having a lot of events. So on this Saturday, 8-7, we're having the Back to School Family Barbecue from 12 to 3. We'll have face painting, rock painting, music, hot dogs and drinks, beer and wine. And then on Friday, 8-13, from 4 to 9, we have wine and cheese tasting. So come out for that. That'll be nice. And every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we have from 6 to 8 live music now from local musicians and local artists.
And what are your hours, Kimberly?
Hours are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. And Sunday, 8 to 4.
Okay, well, it sounds like some really fun stuff that's happening there. And how can people get more information?
They can go to kunjanicoffee.com, and we have a menu, wine bar, events, and contact form there. And you can email me there, too.
Okay, and again, that's it's Kunjani, right?
Right, KUNJANICoffee.com.
Okay, well, Kimberly, great. Wonderful events, and I'm so excited to have you as one of our new partners.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Okay, great. Okay, Susan Kochevar, in studio, entrepreneur, owner of 88 Drive-In Theater. We're going to go to break. I cannot wait to talk to Dr. James Lyons-Weiler about all that's going on out there. We'll be right back.
Sounds good.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, Force versus Freedom. In studio with me is one of my great sponsors. She is an entrepreneur. She's the owner of 88 Drive-In Theater, and that's Susan Kochevar. Can't wait for this next discussion.
Me too.
And on the line with us is Dr. James Lyons Weiler, and he is the founder of IPAC, which is the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. And he's actually starting some courses as well. James Lyons Weiler, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. Since we last talked, Jack, it's getting even crazier out here. We are now moving into communist Colorado. Yesterday, Mayor Hancock, who is the mayor of Denver, said that he's going to require the vaccination, or also known as the experimental drug that's not been approved by the FDA yet, for all city employees, hospital workers, teachers across the spectrum. It is, and he said, people just may lose their jobs. It's beyond belief, Jack.
Well, that's kind of crazy. It's happening all over the place. We see it. And the message that I have out there, I hope anybody who is not sitting down is sitting down that listens to your show. There was a report that came out from the CDC recently that you saw where Director Rochelle Walensky said that people vaccinated are going to have to start masking because they can spread the virus after being vaccinated. Well, that's not the jaw dropper. The jaw dropper is, since that announcement, I've had time to go and look at the report. This is a county in Massachusetts that had summer events, and the public health scientists thought that they would be able to go to this database and look at the outbreaks that were associated with people that went into the county, that live in the county, and look at the number of cases of COVID-19, diagnosed cases of COVID-19. And what they were hoping to find was that the unvaccinated were the predominant number of cases. So the largest number or proportion of the cases should have been, under their paradigm, in the unvaccinated. The first part that people have to realize is that they reported 78% of COVID cases were in the vaccinated. Now, that might be shocking enough, because that means, wow, well, maybe that's just because so many people in that county are vaccinated. So I looked that statistic up too. In that exact county, 78% of people have had one dose or two doses. In other words, the vaccine in that county has zero efficacy, zero, in terms of preventing the diagnosis of COVID-19. That's incredible, because it's supposed to be no vaccinated people have the diagnosis, or 5% if it's 95% effective. And then you look at the hospitalization rates, 6.8% of the people who are vaccinated are hospitalized. 6.8%, that's higher than the hospitalization rate in the peak of the pandemic, last time that we all went into lockdown. So we're looking at a situation where the vaccine is driving the next phase of the pandemic. And they're mandating the vaccine. So I'm a scientist. I'm usually quite objective. I'm simply going to say we have to fight. We have to resist. We have to say no. People have to walk away from their jobs if they have to. They have to let their employers fire them and then counter sue. But show them the statistics, right? I'll send you a link when I write up the report that I'm going to write up. Why in the world would they mandate a vaccine that has 0% efficacy? Number two, why in the world then are they mandating a vaccine that is going to lead to more hospitalizations? The whole promise of the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, was that it was going to reduce the rate of COVID-19, get vaccinated to protect those who cannot get vaccinated. That was to protect others. That means it's supposed to prevent transmission. There's no evidence that it prevents transmission. It's a non-sterilizing immunization. The second argument is, like Dr. Fauci's fond of saying now, oh, well, you're doing it to protect yourself. you're equally likely to get COVID whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, and you're more likely to be hospitalized if you're vaccinated. This is the pathogenic priming that I published in April 2020. This could be the antibody-dependent enhancement. We're not sure, but we know that the spike protein itself, vaccine, coded by the vaccine, is pathogenic itself. The spike protein is known in cases of myocarditis in the heart. It is known to cause a fusion between heart cells. For our hearts to work properly, we have to have integrity between adjacent heart muscle cells. And the spike protein insinuates itself between the heart cells, and it breaks down the normal cell barrier between cells in the heart. Not only gets swollen, it's not just myocarditis, but it can't function properly. Now, my goal is not to convince people the vaccines are bad and the vaccines are unhealthy or the vaccines are a gateway drug to chronic illness. My goal is to tell people what the statistics actually say and how to interpret them. And that's the shocker. The shocker is 78% efficacy. 78% rate of infection, whether you're vaccinated or not. We're in way over our heads, and the policymakers have to wake up.
Well, my researcher has, this was from the Wall Street Journal, and there's always the follow the money thing. Pfizer forecasts that they'll have $33.5 billion in COVID-19 vaccine sales. How are they making so much money on that, Jack, when the vaccine's free?
Well, because people are throwing them away, we're paying for them.
I know.
We pay. The taxpayer pays. So they're throwing away vaccine. There's a doctor, Human Nordhausen, that's afraid that for cost savings, people are getting outdated vaccines that have expired. And he's attributing vaccine failure to that, but I think he's wrong. I think that the variants that are out, and the variants are real. You hear people say the variants, are not real. They not only have escaped the vaccine, they've also escaped the test. I doubt that the Delta variant is more transmissible. However, we're seeing evidence of pathogenic priming. If you're vaccinated and you get the virus, you're more likely. Now, the good news is that Dr. Pierre Corey and other frontline doctors are out there publishing meta-analyses that are summaries of other analyses. Randomized clinical trial after clinical trial, observational study after observational study shows that ivermectin reduces hospitalizations dramatically, somewhere between 60 to 95%. So it reduces the severity of the illness in a manner on par with the reduction that's claimed to occur with the vaccine. So now becomes a matter of who do you believe? Who do you trust, right? I'm Dr. James Lyons Weiler. I run a not-for-profit research institution. I don't have any profit motive on this. And so, the other interesting thing is that you hear Senator Rand Paul and Fauci going at it back and forth pretty good. And they invited Fauci back to that committee to testify, but they're going to do it in closed session.
Oh.
Whatever Fauci is going to say next, the American public's not entitled to hear. And I think that's baloney.
Right.
I certainly hope that we shine some light on why, it's become so bad, Kim. Like, Fauci just announced that we're probably not going to have a lockdown. Well, that's a sure sign that we're going to have a lockdown. The opposite of what he says. It's almost as though it's code speak. He's announcing to everybody what the next play of his plan is, or the plan is, by saying, well, I don't think mandates are going to be necessary. I don't think we're going to have to, don't mask. It's like, I think it's a code speak, or something like that. And I'm getting really fringe here, right? I usually don't talk like this unless it's like 3 a.m. and I'm on late night radio.
Well, it's 3 a.m. someplace, Dr. James Lyons Weiler. Susan, you had something you wanted to mention.
Yeah, I just want to say I tend to agree that a shutdown's coming because I see the movie studios are starting to pull back their pictures about September 18th now. And every time they start to pull that back, then that's exactly what happens. I don't know how Hollywood gets advance notice. but they do.
Yeah.
So yeah, what? So
the lockdowns are really damaging, as you know, economically. We have to fight them. Teen suicide rates will go back up. You know, the social isolation disrupts normal psychological development, social psychological development of our children. It leads to mass unemployment. It leads to the loss of small businesses. All the things that we know happened last time. We've been through this one time. So, and in reality, right, not to be callous, but the people who are dying, they all have comorbidities, and they tend to be older. If we leave the age factor aside, everybody who's obese, you're tearing our country apart. You need to get in shape. I'm sorry to say it that way. I'm not fat shaming and I'm not judging, but you need to get as healthy as you've ever been. Because you become a casualty, you're another, you know, mark that they can attribute to COVID-19. In reality, all these deaths, excuse me, are not due to the deadliness of the virus. In reality, the deaths that are happening and have happened are due to the callous disregard and medical malfeasance of refusal on the part of the established medical system to give early treatment, give access to early treatment. It takes nothing for a doctor to write a script for hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or fluvoxamine. It takes nothing for them. It's off-label use. It's not forbidden by the FDA. And it takes nothing for a pharmacist to realize that, you know what, I'm not going to do anybody any harm here by saving a life. If it doesn't work, at least it's maybe there's a placebo effect, if that's their belief system. But it works. these treatments work. And so, some states are contemplating bills that will mandate that the physicians give early treatment. And I think that's an incredibly important idea. And make sure that the state legislature has a voice in what the people have access to for treatment. And we need to depoliticize public health completely. You know, here we have this kind of nightmare scenario where there's no checks on the system. So how far is it going to go? Well, it's going to go far enough when people start realizing for themselves what's happening.
Well,
if a person's vaccinated and they take and post vaccines, and then you start seeing that they die, but people who are unvaccinated don't die, and it's happening in your neighborhood, it happened, you know, within your family, then the people start waking up, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm starting to hear anecdotal stories on that. I have a friend whose mother-in-law was just super, super healthy and got the vaccine and has had all kinds of medical issues, has been in the ICU, heart attack, a whole bunch of different things. And prior to that was so healthy. But hey, we're talking with Dr. James Linesweiler. He is the founder of IPAC, which is the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. And we want to continue the conversation. We're going to go to break. In studio with me is Susan Kochevar. She is the owner of 88 Drive-In Theater right here in the metro area. But before we do that, though, another great partner is Castlegate Knife and Tool. And on this Thursday, August 5th, from 3 to 6 p.m., they're having their Everyday Carry Sharpening Day, and they're going to offer a free Everyday Carry tune-up, and that could be your kitchen knife, your pocket knife, whatever you use every day. You can bring other knives as well, but they'll do one for free, and then you can leave the other ones there. So go to castlegate.com. Again, that's August 5th, Thursday, 3 to 6 p.m., and get more information at castlegate.com. We're going to go to break and come back and continue this conversation with Dr. James Linesweiler.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We have on the line with us Dr. James Linesweiler. He is a scientist. He is the founder of IPAC, which is the Institute of Pure and Applied Knowledge. In studio with me is another great sponsor. That's Susan Kochevar, owner of the 88 Drive-In Theater. And Susan, you have a question for Jack.
I do. I saw where you had, I think in last May, done a press conference in Philadelphia, I think it was, where you were admonishing these people who are pushing this stuff. And when people start pushing untested vaccines, it makes me wonder why. And then I watched Dr. Fleming talk about prion disease and how it might affect infertility for the next couple of years. Are we watching some sort of attempt to depopulate the planet?
That's a great question. I mean, I can't say that there's on the landscape of possibilities, we can't rule out that there's not a radical fringe that's part of the major, you know, public health, the cabal that has decided that for the good of the planet, it's time to depopulate. And this is how they're going to do it. There's some direct evidence that the human gonadotropin protein is essential for fertility in women. And it was some religious leaders in Africa, forget which country, but they procured samples of a vaccine. And in that vaccine was the very protein that if you develop autoimmunity against that, the human gonadotropin protein, that the women would become sterilized. So there may be people who, in their warped concept of the greater good, that they've decided for the rest of us what's happening. I don't have hard evidence that that's necessarily so. So, you know, there are toxins in the environment that are making people sick. There are incredible things that we're doing to the planet I'm going to leave global warming out of this. But I'm an evolutionary biologist and an ecologist, and it is undeniable, just like if you've ever let something go bad in your fridge and there's overgrowth of a particular bacterium, unchecked growth and unregulated growth can cause, you know, ecosystem collapse. So what I would suggest is if these people think that they have figured it out for the greater good, that we need to reduce the population size. But they've really jumped the gun on this problem in a manner that's going to completely marginalize a huge part of the population, and there's going to be a massive social strife, massive political blowback. So we at IPAC have spun off a sister LLC, IPAC EDU, so we're teaching the public science, logic, reason. I mean, grandmothers are taking the courses, grandfathers, and parents of kids who want to know what they should be teaching their kids in homeschooling. And this is an online university. Whether you're ever going to get a university degree or not is beside the point. The courses that we're offering will help people with sense making so that they know how to look at data, they know how to interpret data. And just taking the biology course, you'll learn genetics and epigenetics, and you'll learn a lot. We'll bring this up at this point in time because the course that I put together all summer is environmental toxicology, ecosystem, and human health. You know, we have to look at the way that we're doing is the business of being human on this planet in a way that is more in equilibrium or homeostasis with longevity of our species. There's no doubt about that. That's an important thing. But how we go about that, we have to do it in a way that is humane, respectful, respects human rights, respects individual rights. And, you know, for example, if they want to reduce population growth, then why don't they offer people money to not reproduce, right? We will pay you. You'll have a higher lifestyle if you don't reproduce, right? I mean, they're just printing money anyway. What's the difference? There's a gazillion ideas that could be done. This draconian possibility of injecting people with substances, you know, that causes autoimmunity against their reproductive hormones or reproductive the biological receptors or the actual act of reproduction. If it's a well, I know something about the they tried to create a vaccine for temporary infertility as a birth control, and the problem is it sterilized the women. And it was syncytin-1 was the protein that targeted. And I'm in contact with one of the scientists who was involved in that, and she says that she's done the analysis and found homology between syncytin-1 and one of the proteins in SARS-CoV-2. So I double-checked it, and I found it there, too, in my next peer-reviewed publication that'll be there. Syncytin-1 is essential for proper placental functioning. We're seeing...
Okay, I'm going to...
Go ahead.
Jack, I got to. You are clearly a scientist. I clearly am not, and I think I'm hearing you say that there was something in this vaccine that was in a different drug that caused infertility. Did I hear that correctly or not?
There's something similar to it. It would be irresponsible, I think, for me to say that it's the same thing.
Okay. Okay.
Right, it's not the same thing. What I'm saying is that they took that pathway to try to induce temporary infertility using the actual protein syncytin-1, and that the SARS-CoV-2 virus has a protein that's very similar to in part of its structure to syncytin-1, and syncytin-1 is essential for proper placental functioning. So we're seeing women that are developing, you know, irregular cycles, we're seeing placental abruptions, we're seeing problems in pregnancy that are not making it to the official reports. And I hate to do that. As a scientist, I hate to cite anecdote and word-of-mouth knowledge, but these are medical professionals that are reaching out to me and saying that they can't believe the numbers that they're seeing. So what do we do about this? Well, we have to look at whether the people that are making the decisions in public health and in medicine actually have public health and medical well-being as their number one agenda. That's their job. Their job is not to do population control, right? Their job is not to perform eugenics. Their job is not to cull the herd. Their job is to make sure that people are healthy. And well, what is healthy? Well, if healthy includes making sure that toxins, you're not breathing, eating, swimming in, wearing toxic substances and becoming sick with cancer and so on as a result of the toxins in our environment, then we need to have a new approach towards corporations that are putting toxins into our food and our water, you know, agriculture, everything. So
okay. Well,
that's why I did IPAC EDU, so that we can teach people this course, environmental toxicology. The people who walk out of that course will walk away as activists against the toxins in our environment, so that we can be healthier with the life that we do live, and our children and our children's children can live healthier lives without this constant onslaught of toxins.
Okay.
And the toxins that are present in the vaccines make it worse.
Absolutely. And to your point, what we saw was going through and fumigating schools with all of these disinfectants, which can be toxic themselves. I have customers coming in wearing gloves and masks and spraying sanitizer on their tickets that you hand them for admission. That stuff is really bad for people and the environment. We are a creature and designed to deal with, bacteria and stuff. If we're not exposed to them, we don't do well.
So, hey, Dr. James Lyons-Weiler, we have just a couple of minutes left. What's the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I'm going to make it a pitch for people to register for courses at IPAK-EDU, IPAK-EDU.org. It's really important. The whole purpose of this public education bid that we're doing is so that when people go into the public square, whether it's a letter that you're writing to your school board or a letter you're writing to your representative or a conversation with your family member or your neighbor, that you know that you're standing on solid knowledge and solid science. So I think it's the duty of every freedom-loving American at this point to really embrace a future where they're learning and they're becoming educated in science and logic and reason and even mathematics and how to do analysis in a spreadsheet, and so that we, the oligarchy, can never pull the wool over our eyes again. That's my message.
And that's one of the reasons, Jack, why we do this show as well, is to help people get their brains around these issues so that they can converse with their friends and their family and their colleagues about this. And it takes work to seek truth and to really work to know what you're saying. Lies are super easy to just spew. And it's difficult sometimes to push back on that. And that's why learning about it and the knowledge on this is so important. Jack, I really appreciate all your work. Is there a cost involved with this course? I would hope there is.
Absolutely. So compared to college tuition, this is amazing. You get a college level live course. Every course meets at least once a week. For less than $200 for a 15-week semester.
There you go.
Excellent.
There it is.
That's just great. Well, Jack, thank you so much. Let's stay in touch. And again, thank you for your great work. And that is ipac.edu is where they sign up. Is that right?
ipac-edu.org.
ipac-edu.org. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Kim.
Okay. And Susan. Great to have you in studio. He clearly is a scientist.
That was fantastic. Yeah, I would highly recommend signing up for his classes so that you understand what's happening.
Okay, and that's IPAC again, -edu.org. And our quote for the end of the day is from Soren Kierkegaard. He says, take a chance and you may lose, but take not a chance and you have lost already. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry.